Praise God.
Father, thank you that I get to be with the sanctuary family today. Your presence is so real. Father, your presence is with us all of the time, but we never, ever take it for granted. You're our God. You're our King. You're our Master. You're our Savior. You're our Healer. Well, come on, just begin to think of all of the things He is. Come on, just raise your hands up to Him. You're the lily of the valley. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the bright and morning star. You're our soon coming King. You are the Alpha through the Omega. You are the beginning through the end. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You are on the throne. You are large, almighty God, awesome in your ability, awesome in your wisdom. Oh, I'm going to teach in a minute, but come on, let's just praise Him some more. You are awesome in your knowledge. You are awesome in your mercy. You are awesome in your grace. You are awesome in your faithfulness. And our tongues will cry out to you. You are not a liar like politicians are liars. You are not a man that you would lie, neither the Son of Man that you would repent. What you have spoken, you will do. What you have promised, you will perform. And we decree and declare today, in the glory of your presence. Oh, is it just me or anybody else feel the glory of His presence? We decree and declare today in the glory of your presence that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we can ask or anything that we can do. Oh, come on, if you believe that today, give the Lord a big praise. Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor Sam. So good to be home. It's been a long time since I've been with my sanctuary family. We've covered a lot of miles. A lot of miles. And I don't have any evil reports. I don't have any negative reports. God is raising up a remnant of Holy Ghost, blood-bought, scripture-saturated, on-fire warriors. And when we leave this earth, we're going to leave a hole where we've been. I can't tell you everything God is doing. As I watched that video, and I've seen it a lot of times in a lot of venues, a lot of conferences, a lot of churches, about the gathering of eagles. And one of the things that comes up, I'm preaching there in Manaus. Boy, what I saw that today. My heart reached out to those folks. Their average salary is $30 a week. But they built a Pentecostal, they call it a Pentecostal temple. Now, how about that? A Pentecostal temple to seat 12,000 people. And when I was there, we had four services on that Sunday with 12,000 in each service. That's one local church. Don't just believe the congressional committees or the folks that lie. I'm a little lit up today. I'm just so glad that I'm serving a King with some integrity. Come on, somebody. A King that has integrity. And He's raising up achievers all around the world. We are not survivors. I said we are not survivors. We are not victims. We are thriving and moving forward. In this 24-hour period, in China, there will be 50,000 people born again. That's our best estimates. Revival is flooding across Guatemala, across Costa Rica, all around the world. Great things are happening. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a part of it. I said I'm going to be a part of it. And I believe it can happen right here in Branson, Missouri. We're not in competition with anybody but the devil, and we're kicking the soup out of him. Come on, somebody. And it's good to be here. You can be turning to Daniel 11, and I do want to extend Karen and my personal invitation to join us at Gathering of Eagles. It's free of charge for you. You're our sanctuary family, and you're local. You're staying at home. Just come and be with us. It is imperative, very important, if you'd help us with this, that you would sign a list. And Karen's going to be back in the back. And if you've already signed up, you don't have to again. But if you haven't, sign the list that you're coming. You say, well, Brother Mike, I'm only coming to two of the sessions. That's all right. We need to know how to tell the sanctuary, or rather the chateau, how to set up. So we need to know how many from the sanctuary are coming. We know how many are coming from out of town, some from other local churches here in town. Real important that we have that information today. So if you're going to be at any of the sessions at all, please sign the list. You won't have to do it in blood. We won't require your social security number. Fingerprinting is optional. We just need to know. We just need to know so we can reserve you a seat. Thank you, Pastor Donnie. I tell you, the choir blessed me today. The choir blessed me today. You don't know what you have in Pastor Donnie and the choir. You don't know. And that's not a rebuke. It's not a rebuke at all. But when you travel around the world, and I go to churches larger than this and this size and smaller, but there is an anointing. Pastor Donnie, that song you sang today, right before you sang your song, that you, powerful. His faithfulness blows my mind. I said his faithfulness is amazing to me. Brother, so good to have you here. I bet you've been at it a while, haven't you? This is my 48th year preaching the gospel. 2 years, we're going to have a celebration. And I'm not stopping after the 50th year. But I'm thinking of his faithfulness today. And Emily, you, Lord, I came in here with a headache. And while you were singing, there's healing in the house. I just lifted up my hand and said, Father, I'm a receiver of that healing. And I don't have a headache anymore in the name of Jesus. I was flying from British Columbia back home. And I know I'm taking a minute because I'm trying to transition, because I'm overwhelmed in the glory right now. You say, Brother Mike, you should never get to that point. Oh, my friend. When you understand his presence, when you understand who he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pastor Sam, I feel like this week is going to be one of the greatest impartations of a new authority to the church that we've ever seen. I tell you, folks, God is ready to do something in America if the church will arise. Only if the church will arise. And I can't tell you how my heart's on fire. I've talked to some of the speakers. They told me some of the things God's laid on their heart. Be there this week. Be there this week. I believe it's going to be phenomenal. We want to see you. I was flying back from British Columbia. I had just preached in 3 days about 14 times in 3 locations, as well as mentoring sessions with 50 different leaders. I was exhausted. I was at 30,000 feet, and I was flying home, and I knew I was going to be preaching this morning here in my home church. And I said, Father, what do you want me to bring? And out of my next voice came this: I'm very tired. I'm very tired. What do you want me to bring? I don't know why I mixed those two together. He said, Son, I want you to teach that the people are about to receive a new impartation of the strength of the living God. And he said, strength is going to be something that they've never experienced before. It's going to be a new level of strength, not power. Power comes from outside on top of you. Strength lives within you and is constantly there. And I believe this morning, and I'm going to preach and teach for a few minutes, but I believe this morning that in these altars, every one of us that needs a new impartation of the strength of God is going to receive that. Anybody interested? Say amen. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and then we'll get to the PowerPoints. But the word of God says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." Now he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist, that we know his spirit is already at work in the world. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Did you hear what he said? He said, even in the last days, and we're living in those days, when the spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit of iniquity and the spirit of perversion and the mess that is going on all around us, and sin is abounding and demonism is running rampant, but the people that know their God shall be strong and hang on until the end and barely make it through and hope we don't lose anybody from the family of God, and maybe we can keep our businesses going, and maybe we'll have enough money to pay the light bill, and maybe we can just, oh, thank God for when he used to do great things, but now if we can just hang on to the rapture of the church. Well, honey, I believe in the rapture of the church, and I'm looking for the great catching away, but I've got some news for you. He did not tell the church to vegetate until he comes. He told the church to occupy until he comes. We're not a people adrift in a quagmire, in a muddy river of a victim mentality, floating down a polluted stream, hoping someday soon God will get us out of here. That is not who the church is. We are not confused. We are not weak. We are not incapable. We are not barely making it. We are not holding on. We have goals. We have ideas. We have new concepts. We have places we're going to go, churches we're going to build, medical clinics that are going to be raised up, new ships that are going to be purchased that will sail around the world giving medical hope with the gospel of Jesus into multitudes of countries. We have ideas. We have goals. We're not just waiting for the trumpet. I look forward to his coming. But when I go home, I intend to have some sheaves to lay at the master's feet. And I'm going to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What are your goals? Where are you going? "Brother Mike, I'm not 30 anymore." Good, then you ought to have more sense. I want to have more sense than I had when I was 30. Amen. And I love what God did when I was 30, but I'm looking for him to do something when I'm 64 in just a couple of months. I don't think old. I don't think has been. I don't think what God did. I'm thinking that they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's why we're going to have children that were here in the lock-in. I don't know if you said, I hope you said lock-in. I thought you said lock-up. I thought, oh God, that's from his state trooper days. We believe in those kids that were here in the lock-in. We believe in Pastor Chris and Amber, what they're doing with the youth. We believe the sanctuary can be full of young people and full of children and full of 20s and full of 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 100 years old. We have a vision that God is still on the throne and we're going to be strong and do exploits. So I want to deal with that a little bit today from a strength seminar that I gave, and I'm going to read some of my notes. Because Pastor Sam does, and I figure anything Pastor Sam does has to be right. Amen? But I'm reading them because I've got too much to say, and if I don't stay reading at first, I'll never get to point two. So I want to give you this. Strength in the Word of God, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In the Word of God, we're directly commanded to be strong 24 times, with many other commandments to be strong. In other words, the word strong occurs 255 times in 239 verses. There are promises given to the believers who will be strong in the Lord. Let me just list them for you. See if it's a lifestyle you'd like to live. The Bible says if you're strong in the Lord, no man will be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. It says if you're strong in the Lord, that you will divide your enemy's inheritance with the body of Christ. It says you will prosper wherever you go. It says you will have good success. You will dominate fear. You will be free from confusion. Your works will be rewarded. You will retain riches. You won't be bound. You won't be spoiled. You won't be robbed. All of these are scriptural benefits of being strong in the Lord. You will be able to bear the infirmities of the weak. In Isaiah 53, Jesus said he would divide the spoils he won on Calvary with the strong. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and he delighteth in his way. But in the Hebrew it says, the steps of a well-armed, valiant soldier on his way to a fight are firmly established into an unmovable existence, and God takes great delight in partnering with him. You understand? I kind of like that description of that lifestyle. No man will be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. I think I'll read it again. You will be able to divide your enemy's inheritance with other people. You will prosper wherever you go. You will have good success. You will dominate fear. You will be free from confusion. Your works will be rewarded. You will retain riches. You won't be bound. You won't be spoiled. You won't be robbed. You'll be able to bear the infirmities of the weak. And Jesus will divide the benefits that he purchased with his blood with you so you can give it to others. Now, that doesn't sound like to me hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. That's what they say in Alabama. That doesn't say like barely surviving. I understand there are times of endurance. I understand there are times of pain. I understand we walk through the valley. But in the valley, he restoreth my soul. The valley is only a place where I dig new wells and find sweet water and get new anointing and move into the next mountaintop experience. I decree and declare. I came to preach today. I feel a prophetic anointing in the place. I decree and declare to you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your age, God's got more for you than you can imagine. He's got new ideas, new relationships, new opportunities, new vision, and we are victors in the name of Jesus. But only when we're strong. The Holy Spirit admonishes the believer. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word finally indicates more than just a conclusion or a summation. It indicates God's ultimate goal is for us to be strong as he is strong. He made man to have dominion, not to be dominated. The portrait of the believer in both the Old and the New Testament is one of an armed, confident, courageous, covenant prince filled with faith, hope, and love. The picture of the believer is not one retiring and retreating from the enemy's attacks. The picture he has of us is not of us isolating ourselves from the challenges of life. We are not dependent upon our feelings. We are not dependent on others' approval. We are not dependent on ideal circumstances for our identity and fulfillment. We are people filled with vision, purpose, goals, joy, peace, and we have a direct line to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's God's plan. That's God's portrait of the believer. I'm going to walk you through some scriptures, and I may ask you to say some of them with me, and we may repeat them two or three times. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And one of the greatest habits you can develop in your life is to speak God's word with your own voice out loud. Because when you hear you say it, you tend to believe you more than anybody else. And there's something about saying God's word. God's position for every believer, Romans 8:37. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, anybody believe that scripture? All right, let's read it together. Ready? Read. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Come on, let's read it again. Ready? Read. In all these things. Stop right there. In all what things? Persecution, peril, nakedness, sword, famine, all of these bad things Paul listed before he said this. He didn't say when we get out of all these things and we get to heaven, we'll be more than conquerors. He said right in the middle of them all. So ready? Read. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul said this, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. The entire verse says, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. But I want you to see those adjectives. Steadfast. In the Greek, it means nailed down, can't be moved. Steadfast. Well, is it going to be Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump? Is it going to be Dr. Carson? Who's it? Well, we ought to be involved. We ought to hold them all to account to the Word of God. But whether there's a donkey braying in the Oval Office or an elephant trumpeting in the Oval Office, the line of the tribe of Judah is still going to be on the throne. And we are not just Americans. We are Havanian Americans. We are citizens of America, but we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So ready? Read. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. How many times abounding? Well, do you believe that scripture? You believe that scripture? If he lied in 1 Corinthians 15:58, you can't trust him in John 3:16. Because if he lied anywhere, all of his word is a lie. But he's not a man that he would lie. So you know what that verse says? It is possible to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Oh, I'm glad we're recording this. I need this message myself. I'm helping me. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Isn't that a great verse? Y'all not getting tired reading the word, are you? Come on, let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Come on, let's read it once more. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And the rest of the verse says, and maketh manifest the savor of us in all places. To one we're an odor of death, and another we're an aroma of life. Either way, you stink. Just seeing where they are. You either have an aroma or you have an odor. And if I'm a believer that says, Jesus salvaged me from sin, filled me with his spirit, gave me peace, joy, and love. But if I walk around all of my life in front of the world as depressed as they are, come on somebody, as beat down as they are, as hopeless as they are, as bound as they are, that's an odor. That's an odor. But if in the same situations they're in, I walk around saying, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. I don't see any hope in this situation. I don't really know what's going to happen next. But I do know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. And I'm not going to fear. And I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. And though famines and pestilences and earthquakes and all of the mess may come, I'm going to lift up my head. And my redemption is coming. And until then, I'm going to triumph in Christ Jesus. That word triumph means, it's a technical word in the Greek, and it refers to the time when a Roman general would invade a foreign territory, conquer the new territory, come back to Rome with the general or the king of the territory he had defeated in chains behind his chariot. And they would ride through, and they called it the triumph. You say, well, that's what Jesus did. Yeah, he did it. The thing about Jesus is he's not near as stingy as some Christians think he is. We think he triumphed and that ended it. That says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to drag the enemy behind our chariot. Hello? Boy, I'll tell you, the devil's smart. He's powerful. He's full of trickery. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And the Bible said he fell out of heaven like lightning. And the Bible says in God's eyes, we're seated in heavenly places right now, far above all of his principalities. If I have to hear another sermon about how smart the devil is, I'm going to ask God to make the preacher smarter. I'm so tired of hearing about, I'm not talking about here. I turn on gospel radio and I hear junk like this. I tell you folks, be careful. The devil is going about as a roaring lion. Yeah, seeking whom he may devour. I am not a cream puff on his dessert menu. He may not devour me. Why? Because I'm a tither, I'm a sower, I'm a man of faith, and Jesus said he would rebuke the devourer for my sake. Glory to God. Shoot, we may be here until the baby shower. Hallelujah. Go to another scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, you ought to read the whole chapter of Joshua chapter 1. It's a strength chapter. Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. I will be with you, I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's read it out loud. Read it like you believe it. Read it like you believe it. Ready? Read. There shall not any man be able to stand before me all the days of my life. God will be with me. He will not fail me. He will not forsake me. Now, do you believe that? Then why are we scared to death over what Iran's going to do? A few leftover Persians. That's good preaching, Brother Mike. Say that. A few leftover Persians. Not that I don't like the Persian people. Jesus died for the Persian people. But God took control of that mess several thousand years ago. And it's all playing out the way God said it'd play out. Everybody's scared to death over Putin coming into the Middle East. I'm hearing the trumpet sound. I read Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. Israel will come back into the land. God will put a thought in the prince of Meshech, Moscow, and Tubal, Gog and Magog. I'll put a hook in your jaw. I will bring you down to the northern mountains of Israel, the Golan Heights of Assyria. So why should I be in despair over all this? Now's time to be strong and say, well, Brother Mike, what if the government does this? What if they do? What if the government does this? What if they do that? What if they do something else? Well, we need to be salt and light, but we have survived the Roman Empire. They used to burn us in the Colosseum. Good news, they gone, we here. You understand? We survived 600 years of the Dark Ages. We survived the Holocaust. We have survived all kinds of stuff in the past. And when the smoke clears, the Word of God people will stand with Jesus raising his hand in victory. He will not fail us. And he will not forsake us. Boy, I feel like a hypodermic needle today, just giving you an injection of faith. Strength. Hebrews 13:6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Come on, I used to tell my preaching students when I was a professor in Bible college, preach the word. So that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you a lot of word today. Ready? Come on.
Ready? Read. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, I wish somebody had shouted a little bit in the house. There's no need for you to fear. What if my boss fires me? Your king will give you a better job. Well, what if? Get the what if virus off of the cerebral cortex of your mind. What if this happens? What if we have an economic decline? What if nothing? We are secure in Jesus Christ. We're not foolish. We prepare. We have discernment. But we are built in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. I don't want anybody to say it didn't give you enough word. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. And the word fear there in the Greek is timidity and intimidation. God has not given me a spirit where I would be timid or intimidated, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The goal of intimidation, I may say it again. The goal of manipulation is intimidation. The goal of intimidation is domination. And the goal of domination is incarceration. To lock you up. I want to say that again. The goal of manipulation, the Adonijah spirit, the Jezebel spirit, the political spirit. I mean, come on, folks, get a clue. When they talk like a New Jersey person when they're in New Jersey, but when they go to Alabama, they talk a little different. They're liars. They're liars. I don't care, donkey or republic, they're liars. You put your trust in men and you're going to come up with an empty sack. Now, whoever's elected, I'm going to pray for them, and I'm really going to pray for us. But God hadn't given me a spirit of fear. The Adonijah spirit, the Jezebel spirit, the political spirit, even the advertising spirit. Everything you see, when you see on TV, 90% of the commercials are built on manipulation to intimidate. If you don't use this deodorant, people will stay away from you. If you don't use a certain kind of mouthwash, it's all manipulation. So there'll be intimidation. And if I can intimidate you, then I can dominate you. And if I dominate you long enough, I can incarcerate you. And I can lock you up from your destiny. I can lock you up from your dreams. But there is liberty wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there can't be manipulation. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there can't be intimidation. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there can't be domination. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there can't be incarceration. You understand what I'm saying? You just happen to be handy. We've not got a spirit of fear, but of power. That's dunamis. Love, that's agape. And of a sound mind, that means a self-controlled mind. Well, I just want Jesus to take my mind. No, he wants you to take his. I hear people all the time say, I want God to control my mind. No, you don't. He gave you your mind. He wants your mind to be renewed by the Word of God and live in the mind of Christ. It's a self-controlled mind. That's why Jesus said, in so many words, he said this, stop asking my Father to do what I've authorized you to do. Well, Brother Mike, I can't control my own heart. Well, Jesus said we could. He said, you let not your heart be troubled. He said, you take care of that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God, take control of my heart. He said, I gave you control of it. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. We think God decides everything. He doesn't. He doesn't micromanage your territory. Come on, somebody. He does not micromanage your territory. I can watch the news and decide. I'm going to go into an apoplexy. I'm going to get ulcers. I'm going to worry. I can do all of that. Oh, I don't know why the Lord wants me to tell this. It's crazy. In the last 2 weeks, preparing for Chateau on the Lake and another situation that we needed to give to, we have put out $70,000 in the last 2 weeks and brought it down to a little bit less than what I wish was there. Say, why would you do that? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And every one of those $70,000 that the Lord had us put out, I can find things in His Word for me to do that, and the Holy Spirit had me do that. So I'm not worried about that, because $70,000 worth of seed won't bring back $70,000 worth of harvest. You get more than you sowed after you sowed. So you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to be in the fearful. Do you know where the fearful end up? Read Revelation 20. It describes the citizenry of hell. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and on and on. Folks, let's not get into this fear gig. I said, let's not get into this fear gig. Come on, read it out loud with me. Ready? Read. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, let me give you God's plan for man. Y'all with me still? Say amen. God's plan for the believer. God's plan for the believer is Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And son, when you gave announcements today, you preached. Praise God. How many know there's a preaching anointing on this young man? God's plan for the believer is Ephesians 1. And he says this, watch this. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. The word is photizo. It means to open the shutter of a camera and allow the image that is there to come inside of you. What God says I am is right here. But until the eyes of my spirit opens. Remember where Elisha said, where all of the enemy was coming against Elisha and his servant, and Elisha's servant was about to get into the spirit of fear, intimidation, domination, incarceration, and Elisha said, oh Lord, open his eyes. And all of a sudden God opened, photizo happened. The shutter opened. And when the shutter opened, he saw the angels of God in fiery chariots camped all around. And the declaration came out of the prophet's mouth. They that are with us are far more than they that are against us. So Paul said, this is God's plan for the believer. I want you to have your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Now watch this. This is what I want you to see. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. In plain old good Missouri, Southwest Missouri English, he's saying, I wish you all would open your eyes and understand how big I am, and I'm trying to give you my power. But instead, we walk around like this. I hope we can make it. Pray for me that I'll endure to the end. You might want to check that scripture out again, since its context is halfway through the tribulation period. I'm not enduring. I am conquering. You understand? Enduring. Nobody wants to be around people enduring. You have to have endurance to hang around the enduring. I remember one lady used to get up at my daddy's church, pray for me that I'll endure to the end. And all of us were thinking, pray for us and we can endure you till it's over. My God, nobody wants that. Do you know why a lot of unbelievers don't want to be around believers? Why would they? I'm making it, but I'm barely making it. I need the pastor to pray for me again. Slap more oil on my face. Pray for me again. Again and again and again and again and again. I need a word from God. Here it is. Grow up sometime in this century. That's what you told me to tell him, and I said it. Hallelujah. He didn't tell me that.
need to come to a place of maturity in Christ. Eyes of your understanding, be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, and what is the exceeding greatness. That's a whole lot. Of His power to us who believe. Does anybody believe? According to the working, watch this, of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. How do we know He can give us this power? When He raised Him from the dead. I have a question for Muhammad. I just wonder if Allah ever died and rose from the dead. I have a question for the Buddhist. I wonder if Buddha ever died and came back skinnier. I'm wondering. I have a question for the atheist. I wonder if they can die and come back from the dead. No, Allah can't. Lenin is still pickled in a glass tomb in Moscow. But there is one who died and said 3 days later, I'll prove I am who I say I am, and I'll get up out of the grave. That's how I know I can have His power. He wasn't just talk, He walked it. He said, if I can't get up 3 days from now, don't believe a thing I say. Shoot, I feel like we got eagles gathering right now. Hallelujah. You understand? I got to get back to that. According to His excellent greatness and according to the greatness of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, watch this, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now watch this. Above, not just above, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Those are the five, I don't have time to teach this, it's the five technical terms of five levels of demonic power. And the Bible said God raised Jesus from the dead and set Him far above all five levels. All five levels. All above, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Now watch this. Pastor Donnie, get me a chair. I'm not tired. Put it up there. I want to illustrate something. And hath placed all things under His feet. Now watch this. Yeah, sit right there in the middle. Up there front. Up there in the front. Thank you, brother. Son, I love you. Leave room for my legs. I don't want to be in the flowers. In fact, I've got to get over here. The flowers, they're beautiful, but they're in the way of this illustration. Now, He has set Him at His own right hand. Move over a little farther so everybody can see. In the heavenly places, far above five levels of demonic power. So He sat down, and He's placed all those things under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Well, who are the church? The believers. Any believers in the house today? Well, He gave Jesus to be the head over all things to you, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, and hath placed all things. Where? Where did He place all things? Under His elbow. Well, if He put them all under His elbow, then there's some of us in the body that would be dominated because they're... No, He didn't sit on them. He put them under His feet. And some of you think, well, I'm the last, most insignificant, weak, little flaky piece of epidermic bunion skin on the bottom of the feet of Jesus. I like those shoes, baby. I'm glad you talked me into them. She wanted me to have blue suede shoes. Don't mess with my blue suede shoes. But the Bible said, if you're down here, you say, well, I just don't think I'm very powerful at all. I'm down here. I'm in the body, but I'm right there. I'm right there. And good news. Good news. The Bible said He has placed demonic principality, power, might, and dominion under the last little weakest, little flaky skin on the whole body is above
principality, power, might, dominion, and every demonic title conferred, which means the weakest of the church is stronger than the strongest of hell. I'm telling you, the Lord told me at 30,000 feet, today's going to be an infusion of new strength into you. New strength into you. That's how God sees the believer. It's our rightful position because of grace. We are seated in authority with Christ. Principalities are under our feet. We are fully armed with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the Word of God, swinging the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit of God. That's you. That's who you are. Once. That's who you are. All of the time. Well, Brother Mike, I don't feel that way all the time. You don't feel that way all the time. Feelings aren't your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Feelings will hurt your walk with Christ more than the devil ever could. My problem isn't demons, they're under my feet. My problem is my vain imaginations. Right here. The strongholds that cause us the biggest problem are the thoughts that we allow, the words we hear, and then we meditate on them in our heart, and then we believe them in our heart, and then we meditate on them in our mind, and then we speak them with our mouth, which gives them authority, and then they become rulers of our lives. Oh. That's why it's so important we get in the Word of God. Conquering new territories. What's your next territory you're going to conquer? Boy, I tell you, Wednesday night I'm going to preach an illustrated message on authority in the potter's house. You never have authority, and I've never preached it as an illustrated message quite like I'm going to preach Wednesday night. You never have authority until you have submission. You can never mentor until you're willing to be a protege. You can't instruct until you're willing to take instruction. You can't correct others unless you're willing to take correction. And a lot of us are happy to sit with Jesus on his throne. Come on, folks, you've loved me so far. Now, this is a love test. We're happy to sit in authority with Jesus on the throne. But there's sometimes he's got to pick Mike Brown up as a piece of clay and slap me down hard on the potter's wheel and send me in circles till I feel spiritually dizzy and I don't really know what's going to happen next. And I've got to submit to the hands of a potter who's going to make my next 10 years what he wants it to be. He may have used me one way for the last 10 years, but the next 10 years may require a makeover. And I've got to be willing to submit to the potter's will. The dreams and the visions he's given me will require more strength than I've had in the last 10 years. It'll require more wisdom than I've had in the last 10 years. I cannot float on 48 years of ministry. I cannot pull out sugar stick messages and go to conferences and TV and preach people happy and say, oh, that was a good sermon, but there's no transformation. I can't do that because my nation is going to hell in a handbasket. I can't do that when I live in a nation where Planned Parenthood is murdering children and selling their body parts. I cannot just sit and wait for the rapture of the church, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to stand up somewhere and do something. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are the strongholds? In the mind of the believer, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where our struggle is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not against hell. Hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Well, if I've ever delivered a prophetic word for a
of people. I'm doing it today. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not worried with hell. The hell with hell. Nobody with a religious spirit have a heart attack. It's legal to tell the devil to go to hell. It was made for him. It's not legal to tell people to go. Just in case any of you didn't hear it, to hell with hell. Not worried about devils. I'm not worried about demons. I'm not worried about hell. They are under our feet. But I'm worried about my stinking thinking. My vain imaginations. My eager willingness to hear a lie of the enemy. Believe it in my heart. Meditate on it in my mind. And by my mouth give it authority. Because I realize that Olin Michael Brown is Olin Michael Brown's worst enemy or best friend. And I have to decide which it's going to be. Hallelujah. The picture of the believer is we're offering such steadfast, powerful resistance against the devil that he is fleeing from us. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil. And hope he doesn't catch you. And pray the demons off of you. And run for the hills. Because the devil is coming. I tell you, I'm a good enough turkey hunter that I've learned you can't blow their heads off till you gobble them up. Get in bow range. Come on, I'll do anything to teach the word. I'll lose all my doctoral dignity. You've got to get him to stick his head up before you can kill him. And if all you do is listen to the stuff he's saying, you're not going to be able to do that. I'm not running from him. That's not what the scripture says. Show me anywhere in the Bible where we're to run from the devil. The Bible says, flee from evil. That doesn't mean from the devil. It means avoid the very appearance of evil. Don't put yourself in a position where you'll end up in fornication. Flee fornication. You're not talking about running away from the devil. You understand? He said, you submit yourself to me and you resist the devil and he'll run from you. And he didn't say just some little demon. He said the big boy himself. He said he will run from you. You understand that precious little angel right there on the front row, and she submits herself to the Lord, and in the name of Jesus, that little angel right there submits herself to the Lord and resists the devil, that the devil runs screaming in bloody murder. See, our picture is totally wrong. We've got this idea the devil is this magnificent creature. He's an out-of-work, deadbeat, moronic angel that thought he could take God's job. This guy isn't the sharpest arrow in the quiver. You think you can dethrone God? Are you out of your demonic mind? Yes, he is. And you have the mind of Christ. I'm trying to paint the picture for you. The picture is we're successfully going into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15-18. We're reaping a great harvest of souls. We're confident, happy, guilt-free, fearless, hopeful, loving, full of faith, full of praise, full of worship, mighty, powerful, triumphant, victorious, glorious, secure, positive. That's who we are. Now, you know why we're that? Because Jesus hung naked on a cross bearing every one of our sins and every one of our fears and took upon himself all of it. And we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. And so listen, think about this. If God would send his son and if his son would shed all of his blood, think of that price. Do you know that makes you a high-valued commodity? God highly valued us. He valued us so much that he'd give his only begotten son. So watch this. So for me to live beneath his picture of me, when the price he paid for me to live in victory, that's what he wanted for me. And for me to live in defeat is a slap in the face of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's who we are. I said, that's who we are. And we're going to have to live into that picture. God puts the picture out there in front of us. But we have to make a decision to live into that. Oh, but Brother Mike, you know, I'm under a generational curse. I've got a Greek word for that, balonos. I'm tired of guys getting on TV, and I love Christian television when it's right, and I hate it when it's wrong. Don't throw all the baby out with the bathwater. I raise millions of dollars for some Christian television networks that are full of integrity, and they're getting the gospel out over 170 countries, and I thank God for it, and they're tied to the local church. Just because they're charlatans doesn't mean there's not preachers, and just because there's counterfeits doesn't mean there's not real money. But I hear some of these cats. And I believe in seed time and harvest. I've been sowing a lot lately. I believe it, but I hear some of these cats get on. If you'll send me a $5,000 seed, I'll break the generational curse off of you. Well, listen here, false prophet, big mouth. Oh, I'm frisky today. I'm glad I'm in the New Testament. There's some Elijah in me. There's some David in me. Somebody asked me the other day, are you bipolar? I said, shoot, there's more than two of me. I can guarantee you. There's not just up here and down here. I've got a multitude, and my wife has adapted to all of them. My God, folks. I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm preaching to me like I'm preaching to you. That's the picture God gave us. And for me not to live there is to spit in the eye of what Jesus did on Calvary. So if he said, I'm victorious, I'm going to live in victory. If he says he causes me to triumph, I'm going to walk in triumph. He says, I have a sound mind, I'm going to have a sound mind. If he says I can have anything he says I can have, do anything he says I can do, go anywhere he says I can go, accomplish any goal. Folks, God is trying to raise up achievers in the body of Christ. What are your goals for the next 6 months? What are your goals for the next year? What are your 5-year goals? Japanese corporations have million-year goals. Most Christians don't have a time management system, so they know what they're doing tomorrow. God, anoint me. And God's response is, why? The anointing is to destroy yokes and lift burdens. The blood's already redeemed us. The anointing is to empower us. Hallelujah. Oh, I gotta. That's me. That's you. Put that next PowerPoint up. That's me. That's my legal rights position in Christ Jesus. I want you to say that out loud if you believe the Word of God. Say it out loud. That's me. Say that again. That's me. Say that again. That's me. That's my legal rights position in Christ. Now, if this book is true, that's who you are. If you're a born-again child of God, that's who you are. That's who you are. But you know what? You've got to activate your rights of citizenship. When they brought Paul in, they were going to try him in Jerusalem. They started beating up on him. He said, guys, I just want to tell you something. I happen to be a freeborn citizen of Rome. And that means you're going to answer to Caesar if you mess with me. And we let the devil beat up on us all the time and circumstances be. Well, wait a minute. I happen to be a freeborn again citizen of heaven. And not only am I a citizen of heaven, I'm an appointed ambassador for Christ. And so are you, according to 1 Corinthians. Which means if you be, yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. The kingdom of God
takes better care of their ambassadors than the United States government. When you need security, they'll send some. Come on, keep breathing in and out. When you need some security, there are guardian, warring, and protecting angels that'll come. He's not going to abandon you, but you're going to have to activate your citizenry rights. Your citizenry rights. I'm a citizen. I'm a child of the living God. Boy, I tell you, sometimes we need to get our swagger back. Remember when you played football? You know what swagger is. It's when you knock the guy dizzy and you're laying on top of him, face mask to face mask, and you say, I'll be here all day, and get up again. I want to give you one more verse of scripture, and I want to walk you through it. And I don't want you to hear something I'm not saying. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, come on, walk with me just for a couple of minutes, a few minutes here. Look at that. The last phrase, I've got it there in capital letters. Because as He, who is He? Jesus. Is, grammar test. Is, past, present, or future? It's present. As He is right now. As He is right now, so are present. We, when we get to heaven. I didn't write this. It's right over there. It's in your Bible, 1 John 4:17. As He is right now, so are we in this world. Now, lest you think I'm getting into heresy, I am not teaching that we are God. We are the sons of God. As He is the Son of God. Did you know you're Son of God? You ladies are too. Say, no, I'm a daughter of God. No. To as many as received Him, them gave He power to become the sons of God. And it doesn't have anything to do with gender. It has everything to do with legal rights. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, she won't be the first executive in America. All of the women of God are executives in the kingdom. I thought some of you would get happy. I am not saying we are equal to Jesus. He is the only begotten, the unique one of a kind, begotten Son of God. I'm not saying we have a glorified body yet. Romans 8 says we're waiting for that. I'm not saying we have a perfected mind yet. But we can let the mind of Christ be in us and keep our mind constantly renewed. I'm not saying we are immune from problems. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So let me work this out. As He is, He has already overcome the world. So He is an overcomer of the world. So as He is, so am I in this world. I'm an overcomer. I said I'm an overcomer. So are you. And let me just walk you through this real quick. I'm using paper notes today. Can you believe it? As Jesus is, so full of the scripture that at 12 He confounded the scholars of His day. So are we. We ought to be so full of the scripture that we can confound false scientists and Freudian psychology with the scripture and the Word of God. As He is, so full of the Holy Ghost and the Word, that after being alone in the wilderness without food for 40 days, He totally defeats the personal temptation of the enemy. So are we. We can be so full of the Word, we can send Him to flight. As He is, so fearless that He boldly confronts religious hypocrites, cleanses the temple, rebukes the storm, defies Rome,
So are we. I could walk through a lot of this, but just let me ask you a question in closing. As he is, so are we. Is he filled with anxiety today? Then why are we yielding to it? Well, yeah, but Brother Mike, we have to have that until we get to heaven. And that scripture is a lie. He says, as he is, so are we. So if I let the world put me in anxiety, it's because I chose that. I don't have to. The scripture says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They will soon be cut down and wither as the grass and the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and you will dwell in the land. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way unto him, and he'll bring it to pass. Your judgment will come forth as the light, and thy righteousness as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. So I'm sweating when I'm preaching, but I'm not sweating over anything else. Hallelujah. Is he worried? No, he's not worried. He hadn't chewed on his nails in 2,000 years. And he doesn't take Prozac. He's not even drinking Maalox. Now, if you need Maalox, go ahead with it. I mean, you see what I'm saying? He's not worried. He says in Matthew 6, which one of you, by worry, can add one cubit to your stature? He said, I wish y'all would look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet the greatest king, the richest king of Israel, Solomon, wasn't arrayed like one of them. If your heavenly Father clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow's going to be cast into the oven, won't he take care of you? He said, I wish you'd look at the birds. He said, they sow not, neither do they gather in the barns, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you more important than the birds, bird brain? He said, stop thinking like a bird. Start thinking like a son of the living God. He says, quit worrying about tomorrow. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to today is the evil thereof. And then he tells us the answer to all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these other things that you're so worried about. All of these other things. All those retirement fund things. All of those physical problem things. All of these other things that create such anxiety and worry and fear. He said, listen, your heavenly Father knows you have need of an answer for all these things. And he says, if you'll take a chill pill and just trust in me, all of these things will be added unto you. He said, I'll take care of it all. He said, I just want a portrait of your faith. I want to do something. I'm done teaching. Did you receive anything today? I want the choir to come forward quickly.